हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमः सीद सादनम् ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः। श्रीमत् पयोनिधि निकेतन चक्रपाणी भोगींद्र भोग मणि राजित योगीश शाश्वत शरण्य भवाब्धिपोत लक्ष्मींद्र सिंह मम देहि करावलम् लक्ष्मींद्र सिंह मम देहि करावलंबम् ले लक्ष्मींद्र सिंह मम कर अवलंबम् देहि ओ लॉर्ड लक्ष्मींद्र सिंह गिव मी योर हैंड इन सपोर्ट इज द प्रेयर एनीवे सो आई बीन टॉकिंग टू यू for the past few classes, clarifying certain things, analyzing, they're discussing only the Manomaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha and Anandamaya Kosha. And last class, I made it very clear, now we know the difference between Manomayaha and Vijnanamayaha. And you know exactly what Anandamayaha, the layer of personality called Anandamaya Kosha. And then I also taught you last class, when we analyze these five koshas, Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha and Anandamaya Kosha, we negate one after the other as an object of experience. And finally we arrive at the Anandamaya Kosha, and Anandamaya Kosha also is negatable, is negated as an object of experience. And after negating Anandamaya Kosha, then nothing else is there to be negated as an object of experience. So having arrived at that, then we think, oh, we have arrived at this Anandamaya Kosha, we negated that also. Then where is the Atma? I should have experience of the Atma. We want to experience the Atma. And it is called Atma Anubhavaha. Atma Anubhavaha. I need to experience Atma. For what? For me to understand that there is Atma. But that is where we make a mistake. And once you have negated the Anandamaya Kosha, when nothing else is there to be negated as an object of experience, and what is there non-negatably is the experiencer. There's nothing more to be negated as an object of experience. Then what is left behind, what is available, what obtains after the negation of the Anandamaya is the very experiencer of Anandamaya. And who is the experiencer? We have to say, I am the experiencer. And how do you know you are the experiencer? Because you know you are. And I am the experiencer. Then you ask the experiencer, who is this experiencer? How do we say that there is an experiencer? The very experience of Anandamaya is the proof for the experiencer being there. Because experiencer you cannot see through your physical eyes. You cannot hear through your ears. You cannot smell through your nose. You cannot taste or touch. But still, how do you know there is an experiencer. How do you understand the existence of the experiencer? You understand the existence of the experiencer from the standpoint of the experience, and the experience is from the standpoint of the experienced. So experienced is because there is an experience, and experience is possible because there is an there must be an experiencer. And who is that experiencer? You cannot see an experiencer with the form. There's no, you cannot even, there's nothing to be conceived, perceived, or described, but still there's an experiencer. I understand what is there because of the presence of which the experience is possible. And that is the abstract formless reality. And that reality is just the experiencer status because of the experience. But really speaking, the experiencer, the reality which alone has the experiencer status, is of the nature of experiencing, is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, that reality, formless reality, is implied by the term jnanam in terms of its nature of knowing. That's how we arrive at it. It is this reality, abstract formless reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, which we arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing, is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, and it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, the same reality is implied by the term Atma and Brahma. It is this reality which is the Swarupam, the truth of I. Therefore, we have to say, I, the experiencer, am the formless, abstract, subtlest reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore, I am knowledge. I am consciousness. Like wave is water, we have to say, I am consciousness. This is how we have to claim, we have to take ownership of our real nature being pure knowledge, a pure consciousness. And it is this consciousness which is of the nature of existence, which means self-existence. When, how do we say it is of the nature of existence? Because whether the world shines, the world doesn't shine, whether the thoughts are not, whether the sense powers are functional or non-functional, whether the mind is functional or non-functional, whatever it is, there's never a time this reality in the form of knowledge is not. There's always reality in the form of knowledge. Therefore, in what the reality is available for us, recognize the form of the knower. Therefore, this is of nature of existence, self-existence. And one more thing we have to understand now, it is this reality which reality happens to be the only knower. There's no second knower other than this reality. Wherever their knowledge takes place, wherever there is knowledge, and the knower obtaining anywhere is this only reality. Like illumined objects are many, but the illuminator is the only sun. Illumined opaque things are innumerable and countless, but the illuminators are not many. The illuminator is absolutely one. Similarly, the known inert world of material objects are many. The known objects are many, but the knower is one. that only knower is another than this reality. Reality is not the knower, but the knower is the reality. So, jnata, jnanam. Reality is the knowledge. The knower is knowledge. But knowledge is not the knower. Knowledge has the knower status. The pure knowledge has the knower qualification from the standpoint of the known. Now, we have to understand here. Do we need to make efforts for self-experience? Or do we need to make efforts for self-knowledge? We need not make any efforts for self-experience. Atma anubhutihi is a masculine, feminine gender word. Atma anubhavaha, masculine gender word. Anubhutihi, feminine gender word. Anubhavaha, masculine gender word. Do we need any effort? No. Atma anubhutihi, atma anubhavaha, we need not make any efforts. Because there's never a time we are not experiencing the Atma. There's never a time we are not experiencing the Self. We're always experiencing the Self. Only because of self-experience, only because of the experience of the Self, the experience of the world is possible. Without the experience of the Self, the experience of the world is impossible. So, jagataha anubhavaha presupposes the atma anubhavaha. For me to know the world is, I should know I am first. If I can say, I know I am, I know I am, it is atma anubhavaha. Then if I say, I know the world is, it is jagat anubhavaha. Jagat anubhavaha. Jagataha anubhavaha. When you say, I know the world is, it is jagataha anubhavaha. Experience of the world. I know I am, it is experience of the Self. So, once, whenever we have this self experience, in terms of I am, I know I am, which is called waking state. Whenever you do not experience yourself, you are, we call it deep sleep state. When the self experience is there, it is waking state. When the self experience is not there, it is deep sleep state. Self-experience is always there in the waking state in terms of I am, I am, I am. And only when there is self-experience in terms of I am, the world experience, the experience of the world in terms of the world is possible. So even when the self-experience is not there, still self is. Self is always. You are always. That when there's a time you are not knowing you are, then you are without self-experience. Then there's a time you know you are, then there is self-experience. How is that you have Atmanubhavaha? When you say, I am, I am, I am, so the Self is always available for experience in the form of the knowledge of the existence of the Self in terms of I am. Self is always available for experience in the form of the knowledge of the existence of the Self in terms of I am. So self-experience is always there. But whenever there is self-experience in terms of I am, there's also experience of the world in terms of the world is. But what happens simultaneously along with the self-experience, there's also experience of the non-self. Non-self, which is non-separate from the self. Along with the experience of the self, there is also experience of the non-self, which is not distant, non-separate from the self. There is non-self. The self and the non-self are not non-separate, inseparable. The self and the non-self are inseparable, non-separate, not distant. So when there is experience of the self in terms of I am, there is also simultaneously experience of the non-self in terms of body, mind, sense complex. I am, when you have the experience, you definitely experience that how you experience there is a world is. When you have the experience in terms of world is, you also have the experience of the body as body is. Sense organs are, sense powers are, activities are, mind is, emotions are, intellect is, perception is, thoughts are, pranas are. So simultaneously, only when there is experience of the self in terms of I am, there is also experience of non-self, the body, mind, and experience of the body, mind, sense complex. Whenever there is no self-experience, the experience of the body, mind, sense complex also is not possible. That's why in deep sleep state, whenever the self-experience in terms of I am is not there, there is no experience of the world, there is no experience of your own body, mind, sense complex also. In deep sleep state, you do not know you have a body. In deep sleep state, you do not know there is a body, there is a mind, there are sense organs, there is desire, there is anger. No. Nothing is experienced. That's why deep sleep state is a state of experience of the experiencelessness. But whenever there is self-experience in terms of I am, see, knowing the existence of the self is called self-experience. So when there is self-experience, when you say I am, now you're all sitting in front of me. In your house, in your own different houses, locations. If we ask you, where are you? You say, what? I am here sitting in my house. I'm sitting in my study room. When you say, what happens? The self-experience and experience of the body, there is some mixing up. When you say, I am sitting in my study room and I am listening to you, when you say, what happened? I am expression of self-experience. And I am sitting in the room means this room is the location where the body is. The body has its location. The location of the body is taken to be the location of I am, location of I. When you say I am sitting here in the room and I'm listening to you, listening is the function of hearing. Listening belongs to the sense power, and here that dharma, the attribute of the power of hearing, is superimposed upon I, the Atma. The location of the body being located is the attribute of the physical body. Being located in a given place is an attribute of the body, which is superimposed upon the Atma. So hearing is an attribute of the hearing power, which is superimposed upon I, the Atma. When you say, I understand what you are teaching, I am understanding what you are teaching, when you say, understanding is an attribute of the intellect, which is superimposed upon the Atma. I get confused when you say, getting confused is the attribute of the mind, which is superimposed upon the Atma. Therefore, there is superimposition of attributes of the Anatma upon the Atma. Why? Because whenever the self is experienced, when the self experience in terms of I am, I am, I am, simultaneously there is experience of the Anatma, the body, mind, sense complex. And helplessly there's a mixing up of Anatma and Atma. Therefore, the attributes of Anatma are superimposed upon the Atma. Therefore, now we have to discern this Atma, which alone is available all the time for experience in terms of I am. All the time, this Atma, the abstract, formless, subtlest, all pervasive reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is always available for experience in the form of knowledge of the existence of the self as I am, I am. And we have to discern this Atma and seeing this, what is this I am? When you say I am, I know I am, it is self-experience. When you understand what is I am, what I am, this is self-knowledge. And understanding that this knowledge of the existence of the self, obtaining in them of thought in terms of I am, is nothing but essential, nothing but pure knowledge. The pure knowledge which is free from all attributes. Understanding the self which is available for experience in terms of I am, being free from all attributes, is self-knowledge. Atma-jnana. So, we need not work for Atma Anubhavaha. We only need Atma Jnanam. Do we need Atmanubhava? We don't need to. When do we not have Atmanubhava? Always you have Atmanubhava. Because you know you are. When you say, I know I am, it is self-experience. I know I am, but I don't know whether the world is or not. And you can't help having the experience of the world when you have self-experience. So the world experience presupposes the self-experience. So in experiencing the self, it's always mixing up. So seeing and is purely cognitive. So Vedanta study is in fact to help you understand this self, which is available for experience as I am, being free from all attributes. And seeing the self being free from attributes is seeing the self being the attributeless is Atma Jnanam. Because all the people who study Vedanta, and they all say, we want to experience the self. And they also say, we have studied so many Upanishads, had Bhagavad Gita, understood Karma Yoga, understood Jnana Yoga, we have understood this and that and this and meditation, all those things. We have now understood means, I know Atma, consciousness is Atma, exists not on soft nature of existence. They also talk about timelessness, spatial limitlessness, objective limitlessness. They understand so many things. Finally they'll say what? They understand so many things. And they say, we have theoretical knowledge of the self. But we have intellectual thing. But we have yet to experience self. We don't have practical experience. This is the most confusing thing. The whole study will be a waste of time. They have vain effort. You still if you're waiting for self experience. I tell you. Once you wake up from sleep, in fact, when there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self, obtaining him of thought in terms of I am, that is the waking state, and when that is, we call it, that is when self-experience. Only when you experience your own self in terms of I am, that is the waking state. If you experience yourself as you are, then that is the waking state. And you have to experience yourself first that you are. Then for you, this experience that the world is, the experience of the world in terms of the world is possible. So you don't take the world of experience, the world which is external to the body, mind and complex. You always see it as objective experience. And when you say I am, it is self-experience. When you say the world is, it is world experience. It is world experience. But this experience of the body, mind, sense complex also results in the mixing up of the attributes. Upadhi dharmaha. We call this physical body is an upadhi. Suppose you are sitting in a chair. Chair is an object of experience. Is not an upadhi. The door very close to you is not an upadhi. The window which is very close by is an upadhi. But the physical body which is an object of experience like a chair or a window or a door is an upadhi. Why it's upadhi? Because upa means samipam. Upa samipe sthitva. Sviyan dharman. Dadati. That which places, transfers its attributes falsely. That which transfers its attributes falsely, remaining distancelessly, is called upadhi. Upadhi is that which falsely transfers its attributes, remaining distancelessly, is called upadhi. That's why in traditional example given is always this crystal, which is very clear, has no color of its own. But the flowers placed within a crystal container or flowers kept very near the crystal container can transfer their colors falsely to the container. The container is colorless. Container does not borrow any color. Container does not become colorful, but the container appears colorful because of the close association with the colorful flowers or colorful things, the colorful even marbles. So the flowers which do not really transfer their colors, the flowers which do not transfer their colors really, but falsely they seem to have transferred their colors. So the colors, the flowers are said to be the upadhi for the crystal container. Similarly here, the physical body's attributes can never become, never contaminate the Atma. Never become the attributes of the Atma, because Atma is the abstract, formless, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore implied by the term Atma. And this Atma is of the nature of attributelessness. Attributeless Atma can never become the one with attributes. But when you say, I am sitting here, I am listening to you, I do understand, I get confused, etc. Atma seems to have attributes. But those attributes are really, do not belong to the Atma. They have been falsely transferred. They seem to have to be transferred by the upadhis. So therefore, the physical body is an upadhi. Mind is an upadhi. Sense organs are upadhi. Intellect is an upadhi. Therefore, all these, this entire body, mind, sense complex, which is an upadhi, which falsely transfers its attributes to the Atma. So Atma seems to have borrowed attributes. Really speaking, Atma is untainted, untouched any of the attributes, any of the blemishes, any of the impurities. Atma is ever of the nature of attributelessness, in the presence of which the attributes enjoy their existence. Attributes are attributes because of the presence of the Atma. The attributed ones are attributed ones because of the presence of the Atma. But Atma is free from all attributes. So the Vedanta serves, when you say Vedanta Shastram, serves as a pramanam, is a means of knowledge, means Vedanta, it only helps us understand this Atma being free from attributes. And understanding the self being free from attributes, the self is the nature of attributelessness being the nature of the Atma, is Atma Jnanam. Only for Atma Jnanam we need Pramanam. We need a means of knowledge only for the self-knowledge. We do not need a means of knowledge for self-experience. We do not need a means of knowledge, otherwise called Pramanam, for self-experience. We need Pramanam only for self-knowledge. To know, I said, knowing the existence of the self in terms of I am is self-experience. When there is knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, do you know you are or not? Do you know you are or not? To know you are, do you need a pramanam? To know you are, you do not need any pramanam. Why you don't need any pramanam? Because you are of the nature of knowing. You are of the nature of knowing, therefore you are of the nature of self-effulgence. Why do we say sun is self-luminous body? To know whether the sun is there or not, we don't need to light a big candle or a big torch light, high-powered battery inserted. Torchlight, I had to take and go and see to see the sun is there or not. To see any opaque thing, you can use any light. But to see whether the sun is there or not, you don't need any other light. Because sun is, relatively, sun is of the nature of self-luminosity, self-luminous. Similarly, you are of the nature of pure knowledge. You are of the nature of knowledge. You are of the nature of self-effulgence. You do not need any pramanam to know you are. To know anything else is, you need a pramanam. To know where there is light, you need a pramanam. You have to, your seeing power. To have knowledge of the sound, you need a pramanam called hearing power. To have knowledge of taste, you need a pramanam. To have knowledge of the smell, you need a pramanam. To have knowledge of touch, you need a pramanam. You need the pramanam to know anything and everything other than yourself. But to know you are, to know the existence of anything and everything other than yourself, you are dependent on a means of knowledge. Whereas to know the existence of yourself, you do not require any pramanam. Therefore, you are of the nature of self-effulgence. Therefore, you are self-evident. And you are self-revealing. These three words we often use in our classes. But they need unfoldment. When you say Atma is of the nature of self-effulgence, we simply say it. How do you understand this? Now it is how I make you see this fact. How you are of the nature of self-effulgence. You are self-evident. You are self-effulgent, self-evident, self-revealing Atma. And if the pramanam is required to know, then it is called what? That knowledge is, the knowledge which is dependent on a given means of knowledge is called pratyaksha pramanam. Isn't it? Pratyaksha. Knowledge is a pratyaksha jnanam, direct knowledge. Or indirect knowledge we have. But when you don't need a pramanam to know the existence of something, called aparoksha jnanam. To know you are, you do not require any pramanam. No means of knowledge is required for you to know your own existence. Are you? Yes, I am. How do you know you are? I know I am. How do you know? I know. Why do you know? I am of the nature of knowing. It's called aparoksha jnanam. Aparoksha jnanam means what? Aparoksha anubhutihi. Aparokshataya. Without requiring any means of knowledge, I know the existence of myself. Because I am of the nature of knowing. This is very important to understand. So Atma Jnanam is different from Atma Anubhavaha. Suppose when I say people travel and they come and tell us about the places they visited. If you haven't gone there, somebody explains to you how beautiful that place was, how nice that place was, how the food was good, how the location was good, how the ambience was, how the natural resources are, everything the person explains to you. And repeated listening and listening and listening, you do get a clear picture of the description of the person. The person's description of the place gives you a very clear knowledge of how the place looks. I haven't been to many places, but I've heard from people and I got very good understanding of the place. And some nowadays we also have the WhatsApp videos are coming. And we do watch WhatsApp videos. Sitting here next minute, the person sends the video and you see you have gone there already. You have knowledge. That is what? That is, you can say what? I have the knowledge of the place. I have knowledge of Kailas, Manasarovar. I haven't been there, but I got knowledge of Kailas and Manasarovar. My friends have gone. They talked to me, explained to me. They told about everything Kailas Manasarovar. They also sent beautiful pictures and video clips through WhatsApp. I have the clear knowledge of what? The entire Kailas Manasarovar. But if I have to experience that. So what to do? Now I'm so tempted to go and experience that, have the experience. So I want to travel all the way from here. I book my tickets and I go there to experience. So I have the knowledge of the place first. Then I go in person and I have an experience of the place. That such a knowledge is followed by, you know, experience. Whereas here, when you talk about the Atma, it is completely different. It is experience is already there. Kailas Manasarovar Jnanam is first. Kailas Manasarovar is experience is first. Knowledge is first. Then I have the experience of the place. And I go and see this person. Whereas here, with regard to the Atma, it is completely reversed. What is that? There is never a time, there is no self-experience. There is always experience. Self is always available for experience. As I am, I am, I am, I am. I know I am. I am is what? Experience of the self. Self-experience. And even when the self-experience is not there, self is there. Self is always there with the experience. There's never a time self is not. There's never a time self-experience is not. Therefore, self-experience is there. But self-knowledge is not there. I am a self-experience. I am consciousness. I am the all-pervasive abstract reality. Consciousness. I am knowledge. A self-knowledge. And we do not require any means of knowledge for self-experience. Shastram serves as a means of knowledge of this self. Serves as a means of knowledge, pramanam, for self-knowledge. Vedanta is not for self-experience. Vedanta is a pramanam for self-knowledge. And this self is ever the knower. The knower is always the self. The knower self can never become the known. The known can never become the knower. And why this knower is ever the self? Because this self is of the nature of knowing. And therefore, the knower is always the self. So, the abstract reality implied by the term Atma is ever of the nature of knowing. Therefore, the knower is always the Atma. The only knower is Atma. Okay, any doubts here? I think I made clear, isn't it? At least in Vedanta class, if anybody comes and tells me, Swaminiji, I want self-experience for which you are teaching meditation for us. It was for self-experience. I want to attend some meditation class somewhere in Europe. Some camp is going on. Come and tell me. Then that day I will put my thing like this. I'll cover myself and I had to abscond from that place. Because I'm not a good teacher then. Because the whole Vedanta honesty, intellectual honesty is very, very important. Either I make it clear to you or I don't make it clear to you. And I should never confuse. Either you know, I don't know. That's fine. If you don't know, that's fine. If you know, that's fine. But if we misguide you, if we confuse you, it'd be a papam. So that's why I always have prayed to Bhagavan, let me communicate well so that others don't get confused. Even though I have a personal problem of speaking very fast. So on this way, in Srimad Valmiki Ramayanam, it seems Vishwamitra took Rama and Lakshmana as young boys. He wanted to take them with him to destroy a demon called, Tataka. Because he was doing a lot of performing rituals, yajnas, offering oblations to devatas. But the other demons used to come and destroy. They obstruct the rituals. They prevented Devata from getting oblations. So Vishwamitra needed some help for them to sit and do the yajna peacefully, to worship, to offer oblations. And they wanted to be protected from these demons around. And a lady, she was also the female, Rakshasi, was there, Tataka. So there's so many asuras before going to Ravana's. And Rama was a young boy. So here, Vishwamitra came to Dasharatha's place to destroy these demons. Now we don't need Dasharatha and big people. Rama is enough to destroy them. So he came and he asked for Rama. He only asked for Rama. But Dasharatha was a father. He said, no, how can he say? He's only a child. Balaha, katam balam preshaye. How can you send my child? He's a child. You don't know. He's not a child. You send him. And then our brother was disturbed. He said, oh, let me come with you. Let me come with you, not my son. But Vishwamitra was very particular to take Rama. Then Vasishtha advised. At last Dasharatha agreed half-heartedly. At least he sent Rama. And along with Rama, Lakshmana also was sent. And Rama went, he killed the demons and he was sleeping. And next day he has to wake up to protect the Yajnashala. He was fast asleep. And that is when it seems this Vishwamitra woke up Rama. Uttishta, Uttishta, Govinda, Uttishta, Garuda Dvaja. Uttishta Kamala Kanta Trailokyam Mangalam Kuru. So he woke up. Uttishta, Uttishta. You know what Uttishta? Get up, rise. Rama, get up. May you bring auspiciousness to all the three worlds. Vishwamitra knew Rama was Mahavishnu Avatara. He knew. So, Uttishta means what? Then, in fact, that's called Suprabhatam, good morning. So when you say Uttishta, you cannot talk to somebody who is not there, isn't it? So already you know you are. You know you are. To know you are, you don't need a pramanam. Do you need to study Vedanta to know you are? Do you need Vedanta to study to know you are? No. That is where a self-conscious being, already you're a self-conscious being because you know you are. Which is Atmanubhavaha. So when you know what I am, when you discover is Atma Jnanam, and that is called what? Purna Jnanam, which is the rising. So Uttishta means, may your Swarupam be revealed to me. Rise means, may there be rise of knowledge of your own real nature. May the knowledge of yourself rise. Jnanam Uttishta. Jnanam Udayatu. May knowledge rise. So every day morning when you wake up from sleep, you know you are. And then what do you say? Uttishta. Uttishta means may the knowledge rise. So once I know I am, now my aim is to understand what I am. So we are living this life. Even to live our lives, we need Atmanubhavaha. So we already have Atmanubhavaha. That is why life is possible. Living is possible. Without Atmanubhavaha, how can we live? If you don't know you are, there's no self-experience, how can you live your life? So you're living your life with experiencing yourself. So we don't need Atmanubhavaha. We only need Atma Jnanam. And for which Shastram is the Pramanam. And all that Shastram does is nothing but help you discern the Atma and help discern the non-distensible, non-distant Atma being distinct and help you understand this Atma is of the nature of attributelessness. This is what is Atma Jnanam, which is Moksha. So we'll continue this class in person next week. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.